Praise God. Well, it's wonderful to worship Him, and you're here, so would you take your seats? And those at home, if you didn't get off your sofa, or if you're in the car, you're already sitting. And we're going to just have a wonderful time together, I believe, with Jesus and His Word. And it's amazing to know that Jesus has everything for us that He wants to download into our hearts so that we can live in the experience of it. So this morning, I really believe that He wants to show Himself, not just speak, but actually reveal Himself to each one of us. And I'm trusting you're going to be as blessed as I was by this word from Him. So in Psalm, we're going to turn to, if you have your Bibles, if not, just listen to the word, 145, Psalm 145. And this is a description of the Lord, who He is. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. I love the all. I love He is good to all, but I love this. The Lord is full of compassion. That means He isn't kind of half or three quarters. He is completely full of compassion and wants to do all people good. In 1 John 4, verse 16, the Apostle John says, we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. God is love. And whoever dwells in love dwells in God. God is love, and He is full of compassion. Now, last week we were talking about the power of the kingdom. How as two or three gathered, we can pray and unlock, release the power of the kingdom. And we love His power because we need to receive His ability to change situations and circumstances. But it is important, this is what we need to know about the Lord, is that every motive of His heart to do people good comes out of compassion and love for people and for their circumstances. Compassion means that He doesn't just pity or have empathy for someone in any kind of suffering. He actually suffers along with them in it. So in other words, it becomes His suffering. He takes it on board in His own great, big, awesome heart. And He says, I care about what you're going through. I am suffering along with you. But there we have it. He's not just compassionate and love. He has the power to act. But I want you to see behind the power and behind every miracle and behind every answered prayer and every salvation and everything that God does to do people good is love and compassion for people. That is His motive, and it is the greatest motivator in the world. We love things and people. I love peanuts from Sainsbury's, roasted in their shells, and I will travel to go buy them. You know, it's something, it moves me to know that actually, as I'm speaking here, just down the road, there are peanuts, many, and they're very, very bad for me, but I love them. But we're talking about a love that is a completely different quality than human love. Even the greatest love between a husband and wife, or between parents and their children, or friendships, God is perfect in His love and compassion that he actually wants to do something about the troubles that we get into or the things that happen in our lives. He cares. And Jesus, when he came, he revealed the perfect Father. He is the exact representation of God himself. So when there was a loss in a family, when Lazarus died, Jesus wasn't moved to tears because of his suffering, because he already knew that he was going to raise him. Because he's got the power to raise. And I believe in raising power. I believe in the raising power of God. But he was moved by the suffering in that family, the grief and the sorrow he saw. So he raised Lazarus. He was moved with compassion. He felt the suffering of the man who came to him with leprosy. It was far more than a disease, because he wasn't even able to be with his family. He was separated from family and from relationships. And there are so many today who face that suffering. And Jesus cares. He has compassion on the lonely, the isolated. He is moved to act. And if there's anything that we really need to know, we need to know that God is love and that he has the power to change it. But it's his love that moves him to do something about it. And when you talk about love traveling, like I did with the peanuts, it's a ridiculous example, but God traveled. He sent his son to die on the cross. That's how far he went. He went right to the point of death. When we see the father, his reaction to the prodigal, the son that wasted in sin and rebellion against the father, it's like God himself, when he sees what happens to humanity when we get so full of our own ways, independent and rebellious and wasting all the things, the good things he's done on wrong living. But as soon as that boy came to his senses, he said, I'll return to the Father. And it says, the Father saw him from a long way away, long distance away. And it's the only time in Scripture we see God running. Isn't that wonderful? The heart, the love that he had for this son made him want to run and embrace this son who was coming back and saying, I've messed up. I heard a story about a father who went to visit his son in prison. He'd just been caught for a crime. And there he was coming out, coming into the visitor's room, wearing, handcuffed and in his prison clothing. And the father had been so furious that his son would do this. He said, I'm going to give him a right tongue lashing when I get to see him. I'm going to rip him up with my words. Until the father walked in and saw the son shuffle in, looking so defeated and so sorry for, I don't know what he had done, whether he was sorry, but sorry he was caught anyway. But it didn't matter to the father. The father looked and he was moved immediately. He was melted when he saw his son who had done wrong in that state. And that's God's love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were wrong, should have been punished, Jesus came to save us. That is love, the perfect, unfailing love of God. And Satan lies. You might be in trouble at home, trouble at work. And we are, as a nation, in a lot of trouble. Our world is suffering. I think in so many overt ways, not just with a virus. And God cares. He has compassion on those who are suffering. He is moved to do something about it. So God isn't saying, well, I've saved a few. He's looking at everyone in the world going, I want to do something about this. I have compassion. I don't want to see people in this state of trouble. Love, not power, has the greatest effect on our lives. Doesn't it? When you're loved, it means a lot more than power. But I love the truth that God has both. He is love, but he has power to do what is impossible for man is possible with God. And it's his love that moves him. In John 13, we're going to read a little bit about John, the apostle, his experience of the love of God through Jesus. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, we're just looking into the scene, Feast of the Passover. Jesus is about to speak about the cross and about his suffering and then go to the cross. And love is stronger than death, because God's love, even death can't stop the love of God. That's what the cross is. He was raised again. And in John chapter 13, we read the second part of this. Jesus knew that his time had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. To the end. Go on, say it. To the end. He loved his own to the end. I love this insight into the God who is love. He doesn't just start loving us. He loves us all the way through. So he never stops loving us. And then he goes on for all eternity. So the God who is love has loved us, having loved his own. He loved them to the end. Jesus never stops. Some people stop. Jesus never will stop loving you. That's who he is. And so there is an unending dimension to the love that God has for his own people, his own special treasured possession. Now, I just want to say something that's really important that we get, and that is that God loves us all the same. So he loves us all 100% same. 100% full. He is full of love and compassion for us. So when we say God loves us, he loves all of us. And he has his own special, precious people. His own treasured possession. He wants all and he loves all people. But when we respond to his love, he can kind of lavish it. He can continually give out of his love for us in that relationship with him. And he loves us, has chosen us. He paid exactly the same price with his blood for us on the cross. And he gave us all the same inheritance in Christ Jesus. So you could say, in Christ we're equal, equally loved, equally accepted, equally blessed, There isn't one person in this room or at home who is less than another. We're all full of every blessing that is in Christ Jesus. But there's something interesting about John, the Apostle John. And in verse 23, John is seen leaning against Jesus. And he is called, and by the way, he's writing this himself. Okay, so this is John saying about himself, the disciple Jesus loved. Okay, now you could be in a small group or at home, and you could say to somebody, I'm the disciple he loves. And it can sound pride, proud or competitive. But John was so impacted by the love that Jesus had for all of them, but for him personally, that all he could say was, it was like his surname, five times he's written in Scripture, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. The disciple Jesus loved. He didn't say, I'm John, the one who got Revelation, the book on the Isle of Patmos, the one who prophesied about the end times, the one who brought the gospel. He didn't say, I'm the prophetic man above all men. He said, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. Do you not think that's wonderful? Because for John, the power he was grateful for, the miracles he saw were just an expression of love. Every miracle that Jesus does is an expression of love. Everything that Jesus does is coming out of the motive of love and compassion for people. That's why you can always expect a miracle, because he loves you. But for John, the greatest impact of his life was that he was a disciple who Jesus loved. That's why he wrote, we know and rely on the love God has for us. And he always said, Jesus said, use this love to love others. He said, I'll show you what love is. Serve one another. Give your lives in sacrifice so someone else could be blessed. Lay down your lives. Be an example. And so John always says, love one another. That was his mantra, his everyday word. When he saw the disciples, he would say, love each other. Love one another. We're the body of Christ. We're his children. Love each other. Because he was so impacted personally that God loved him in Christ Jesus. It defined him. It's the defining factor of his life. With his grey hair, exiled on an island of Patmos, in slavery actually, a slave worker, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day because he loved the Lord. His focus was on Jesus. And God entrusted him, the one who was the closest, with incredible revelation. But he didn't boast about that. He said, he loves me. He loves me. And John was a really good disciple because he was a follower. He was teachable. He followed. He followed John the Baptist first. And when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, he went, I'll follow him then. And he spent his days a good follower. And I believe if you're a good follower, you'll be following after the one who loves you. The one who gave himself for you. His love for John moved him beyond living an ordinary life. But he lived as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. God is love. Which is why Christianity is about the love of God. It's about the love that died for us and rose again. And that's why the church is to be a body of people who love each other. Not just in your little groupies, but wider, broader. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives in us. Therefore, love lives in us. And our ability to love is not natural, but it's the power of God Himself loving others through us. And John would have said, He loved me. He gave Himself for me. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. He knew that love, the way Jesus had looked after them and treated them and dealt with everything in their lives, but also the way He died for them. He was there at the cross, standing with the women, watching the one He loved. Jesus entrusted John with his mother, Mary. Take her to your home. He was soft. You know, he would have been someone you'd have loved to be with. Because people who love Jesus are very soft and gracious. And they're lovely to be with. And he wouldn't have been what I call a refrigerator Christian. And you've known it in your own experience, where your heart gets cold. I've known it. Where actually all you do communicate is a bit of a chill about your love for Jesus and love for people. John would have been like a fire of love for God and for others. And so any contact with him would have warmed you up. And I want to be the kind of disciple that says, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. And I warm people up to love Jesus too. I love him, John said, because he first loved me. God took the initiative, always. I love him, it's a response, because he first loved me and gave everything for me. No one will ever love you like Jesus. It's impossible, because no one will be able to do what he's done for all humanity, but for us personally. It would be really good for us to walk around saying, I'm a follower. I really want to follow close, Jesus. But I'm the disciple you love. If you say it to Jesus, thank you, Lord, I'm the one you love, it will soften you, it'll warm you up, because God cares. He loves you. If you're in trouble, he wants to do something about it. But it's all because he's the God who is love. I was parked in a supermarket car park, actually Sainsbury's, but I didn't buy any nuts. Sani had to go in and get something, and I was waiting in the car on my day off on Friday. And I love this time of year. It's probably my favourite time, autumn. I love the leaves changing, love the colours, just love the bright sun but chill in the air. It's my favourite season. It doesn't have to be yours, but it's mine. And I'm the disciple Jesus loves. And as I'm looking out the window of the car, I'm seeing the kind of trees 3 meters high or so. And they look lovely. They're just turning all through the car park. And I'm looking straight ahead at this tree. And I suddenly had a vision. Like, it's weird, you know. I don't often do this, an open vision. So you can have a vision in your spirit, an impression, with your eyes closed, or you can have an open vision, which means your eyes are open, the Spirit's showing you something. And I'm looking at this tree. I mean, ultimately, it's a piece of wood with some nice leaves on it. And I see, and it's not far away from me, and I see an image of Jesus crucified and him looking at me. I mean, there was no way I was there. I was thinking about all we had to do that day. We were going to go and paint a friend's fence. And the friend is in the room. So we were going to have a kind of practical day. So I wasn't really thinking like deep things of the cross. I hadn't got my Bible in front of me, but the Spirit revealed something about the cross and the love that Jesus and the disciple he loved. I sat there looking at him on wood. It just impacted me. I should never see a tree the same. And how much he loves us that he did that for me. And I think that's why to be personally impacted by love is going to make you a revolutionary. Yes. It'll be a world changer. You'll be a world changer if you're impacted by the love of God. Duty will get you so far. I should go somewhere and do something for the Lord because it's what he wants me to do. We'll get you a few days. But you know, you'll run through your life till you're old and grey and be the greatest lover and follower of Jesus to turn the world upside down if you do it out of love for him. Love changes us. We'll do anything for love. We don't care where we go, what we give up. Love has this amazing impact on us to go beyond ourselves for the sake of someone else. And I must say, I literally was overwhelmed by the love of God, because actually, if you want to see love, you see the crucified Christ. That's where God demonstrated his own love for us. That is the demonstration of love. So to see love is to see the dying, suffering Savior. But then love carries on all the way through our lives and all that he does for us, all that he does to forgive us. I sometimes feel like I'm that son that comes out saying I've messed up. And he melts as soon as I say sorry and runs to forgive. The Lord is full of compassion, gracious. God is love. And may we be those taking steps closer to lean on Jesus, people who say, I'm the disciple Jesus loves, the one whom he loved. Wonderful. Finally, love doesn't stop with us and with each other. Love goes further. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus looked and saw the multitudes. And he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This morning we started with Pastor Angie talking about him being our shepherd. It's amazing to have a guide through this life. It's amazing to know what he says about every situation. And I follow him more than the news. It's a good key to be a follower. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow what he says. We're blessed to have a good shepherd. We're blessed to be amongst a body of love. A family, the household of God. Yes. But we're also people who are to be moved by his compassion for the lost, for the world. And Jesus had compassion when he saw the multitudes. And I can feel that kind of suffering with, because he saw their real condition. He saw they were harassed. They were beaten. The enemy was in control of their lives. Because if Jesus isn't, the enemy is. If Jesus isn't your Lord, the enemy is in control of those in darkness, whose minds and hearts, the enemy, the God of this age, has blinded to the light of Jesus and his gospel. And he looked out, and I can imagine his face would have expressed to those disciples watching him. I mean, just imagine his face in that moment. I've got to reach them. I must get to them before it's too late. Because there's a time when it's too late. And he knows the eternal destination of the multitudes who are without God and without hope in this life. It will be eternally unless we do what Jesus does and get moved. See, I don't believe we can move ourselves. I believe the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to move us. But I think the word this morning, God is wanting to stir a love for what he loves and a compassion for what he has compassion on. And Jesus looked and he said, right, disciples, the disciples who I love, you're the guys I'm going to send. And he sent them out two by two. We're back to the small impact. The small amount of people and great impact. Like we were talking about last week. Just two or three with the power. But two or three with the love. The compassion. Love has more impact than anything else. And so Jesus sent them out to where he was about to go. I love that. He didn't say, I'm going, because we can pray, Lord, come visit this town. He said, you go, I'll come in. But I just want you to see the secret behind all of this. It's the compassion and the love of God that needs to somehow take the chill out of my heart. Is anybody willing to admit that? To take the chill out of my heart so that I'm moved by someone who doesn't know Jesus. In my sphere, he already has people around, each one of us. But moved to do something about it. Compassion. Don't give the gospel without it. Don't share Jesus without compassion. Because the love that actually never fails will reach them before the message ever does. And so if we, as Jesus says, are the ones to show his love to this generation, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us again with the compassion of God himself. Because I won't find it in me. I won't find it in my plans and my agenda. I'll only find it in the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit is the secret to the Christian life because he's God. And it's God who is love that wants to fill me and you. For everyone. But to have compassion for the lost in our world. His love is so amazing. His cross is something that reveals the love like nothing else. But he has loved us all the way through these years since you got to know him. And he will love you to the end. You'll always be loved. Doesn't matter who leaves you and what Isle of Patmos you end on. You can still be. I'm a disciple he loved. Jesus loves me. But his love moves me beyond just being a recipient to being a channel. A channel, a tsunami of blessing can flow through your life. and that is opened with compassion. The power will flow like never before. The gifts of the Spirit will flow. Why? Because the greatest is love. We are to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, but love. And we need the Spirit to move us. This is the word of the Lord for us. In a day where we know we're loved. If you've received Jesus, it's because you know he's loved you enough to save you, to die for you. But there is a world that doesn't know that God loves them. Satan has lied to them that he doesn't care. And if you're in trouble today, whether you're a Christian or not, he has compassion. He's moved by the trouble that you're facing. And I believe for the power to flow through his love to you today, to transform your trouble and alleviate it and bring his blessing. God is love. And it is a subject I can't speak effectively on. I don't think you could either. But only the Spirit can really reveal that God loves us. He reveals his love to us. So let's stand. Wherever you are, would you stand? And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to motivate us by his love, to move us. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank him that he is full of compassion. Whatever trouble you have going on, God is moved. He's moved about what you're in. He cares. If there's anything that you need to know this morning, it's that God cares. He cares about what you're in. And he wants to do something to alleviate that. He's got the power. But he cares. Father, thank you that you care. Thank you, Lord, that you care so much that you were moved to act and die on the cross for us. You sent your Son to take our suffering upon yourself, our sin, that we might be forgiven, the great price of love that forgave us, the great price that you were willing to give, that you should die for me. And Lord, today, thank you that you didn't just die. You were raised. The power of the Spirit raised you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, raise us up. Come, Holy Spirit, raise us up. Lift us out of our troubles. Lift off the burdens, Lord, of the concerns and cares of this life. Come and alleviate suffering today. Lord Jesus, you're here, moving, because you love. Raise up those who are bowed down. Bring peace and deliverance to tormented minds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May your love define us as the disciples who you love. And may we really see that there isn't anything missing in your love. It's perfect and it's full towards each one of us. That as the Father loved Jesus, so Jesus says, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Live all your years abiding in the love that is yours in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we are loved. And And thank you, Lord, that you are compassionate to do miracles amongst us today, all over, whether it's online or in this room, to raise us up through the power of your resurrection. But Lord, raise the temperature of our hearts, that compassion for others, to be tender-hearted, kind, not keeping record of wrong. And when someone has wronged us, to be like that father who was just melted when he saw his son. Father, through your Spirit, work compassion in me. Just pray. Work your compassion. I haven't got what it takes, but you have. And as I go out this week, and as we go in ones and twos, in the place where you've called us to influence and bring the kingdom, oh, let love just be leaking through us like a colander. Let love leak all the way through us, Lord, so that others are impacted by the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may we love one another as you showed us, where the greatest amongst us will serve and take the lowest place because we prefer one another. So that all the world will see that we are your disciples by the way we love one another. Thank you, Jesus. Just say out loud, I'm the disciple who Jesus loves. I know you can say it louder at home, but I'm the disciple who Jesus loved. Wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Praise God. We praise him for his amazing love for each one of us. God bless you. Have an amazing week, knowing you're loved, and may the love of God impact others, not just with his love, but with his power, because it's the channel through which his power loves to flow. Faith working through love. God bless you, and God bless you. Have an amazing week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.